Anyway, here we are in the Plaza Mayor. All the terraces are out. A lot of people sitting down, sitting outside, enjoying a bit of food. You can tell they're all foreign because it's, what is it, about 9:15 and already they're halfway through their meals. The reason I've come to the Plaza Mayor is I thought today's podcast would be a combination of a sound scene tour and a sort of, well, you can accompany me on a walk. And recently I published a book that I wrote a few years ago on the internet. It was a book about moving to Spain and living in Spain, and it chronicles from the first moment I arrived in Madrid through the first 3 years, where I ended up meeting Marina, buying a house and doing it up in an old part of Madrid. And it got me thinking about the very first few days I was here and about the fact that I had intended to do a sort of roundup of what it's like to move to Spain, to live in Spain. So I thought, well, maybe I could combine all of those things today by talking a little bit about the very first day that I was in Madrid and the fear, the fact that I didn't speak a word of Spanish. We've got a jazzy clown over here playing to an audience of about 60 people. See if I can take a picture. This is going to be a multimedia broadcast today. I'm going to try and combine the sound with a few photos, and also, of course, the book that I'm talking about, it's called Errant in Iberia. I'm not sure about the name, but never mind. You can actually download it from the blog. It's completely free. There's no reason for me to plug it at all, apart from the fact that at last I've managed to publish it somewhere. And you're very welcome to read it if you want. I wrote it because I decided that I'd read an awful lot of books about living in Spain and moving to Spain. And I thought, well, I'm going to try and write one as well. I'd done a lot of travelling around the country. I think I went to a few interesting places, and the experience with the whole flat buying setup was quite something. So I thought I'd put it all down in writing. I sent it to a number of publishers, and it was nearly picked up by the Great Lonely Planet. They had it for a couple of months. They were considering publishing it, and in the end they sent it back to me, said it wasn't quite what they were after. So just the other day I suddenly thought, my God, the internet, you know, I wrote the thing, I might as well stick it up there. So I uploaded it. There you are, if anyone wants to read it, it's there for you to do so. So I'm still in the middle of the Plaza Mayor and just going to take a picture. I was very lucky because after initially living in a hostel just around the corner from here, I met a guy who had a flat overlooking the Plaza Mayor, and he said to me that he would rent me a room. He thought I might be better off there than in the hostel. Of course, I jumped at the chance, because obviously you don't get the chance very often to live on top of the Plaza Mayor. So the photo I've just taken is actually the flat I used to live in. I lived here for 3 months until I realised that the guy was charging me an exorbitant rate and I could do much better elsewhere. Oi, the bells! This was one problem with living in the Plaza Mayor. My bedroom overlooked the plaza, and without doubt it is one of the noisiest places in the whole of Madrid. Every Sunday morning there's some kind of meetup going on, whether it's the end of the Tour de España round Spain cycling race or the National Heart Foundation do. Whatever the occasion, there was always a bloke on Sunday morning at about 8:30 with a megaphone making noises like only the Spanish know how to do. So the combination of the noise, the fact I was being charged a fortune, and also my suspicions that the guy I was living with was slightly unhinged. Very, very nice man, but he used to tell me wild stories about how he had been robbed of the experience of death the last time he took mushrooms in Mexico, and he was very upset that he'd never been able to experience death through hallucinogenic drugs, and I would find stories about dismembering and things like that lying around the flat. So in the end, I decided it was probably a good idea to move out. But anyway, this was sort of where it all started, in the Plaza Mayor. The hostel I stayed in is just around the corner from here. I'm going to head that way now. It's about light breeze, you can hear, buggering up the microphone. It's about 29 degrees. As I said, it must be around 9 o'clock now in the evening. Very lively. There's a young lady here, very young lady, she looks about 12, dancing Sevillanas. Her father's playing the guitar. Very wizened man, very narrow face in a bright, colourful waistcoat. And his daughter is as thin to be, wearing a long purple dress. I don't dare take a photograph. Maybe I could. Well, I haven't got any coins to give them, so I can't. I'm very sorry. There you go. Busking. But they're standing right under the arches, away from all the people. Well, right, so we're now leaving the Plaza Mayor, heading in the direction of the Royal Palace, walking underneath the arches. So here we are in the Cervecería, la Plaza, in the Plaza de San Miguel, right opposite the Mercado de San Miguel, which is a beautiful old market, much more beautiful than the one I was in with Marina last week, but slightly touristy and a lot more expensive, but it's made of painted wrought iron, light green wrought iron, looks sort of English Victorian. Hola. Me pones una caña, por favor. The grumpy looking waiter. So yeah, this is where I used to come the very first few days in Madrid, and the first day I was here was actually my birthday, and I knew absolutely no one in the city and had nothing to do all day. Sort of wandered around, went to the Retiro in September. It was probably about 33 degrees. I died of heat and wondered what on earth I was doing here. And I spent a lot of time sitting here just making notes to the effect of what the hell am I doing here. And eating sandwiches and things like that. Drinking cañas. Okay, here we go. Gracias. So one of the problems with these bars on the terraces is that in the summer they don't seem to have the concept of caña. The caña is the typical small glass of Spanish beer, as any of you who have been to Spain will know. But often when you sit outside in Madrid in the summer, when you ask for a caña, what you get is a doble, which is an enormous beer. Well, it's not enormous, it's probably in English terms it's a bit over half a pint or something like that, but in Spanish terms it's getting to be a big beer, only in terms of the fact that you know you're going to get charged double for having a doble, and also double for the fact that you're sitting outside on a terrace. So I think they do it very cleverly. You ask for a caña and you get a much bigger thing. We shall see how much it costs when the time comes. And unfortunately here, no free tapa. Well, I was right about the drink outside the terraza. For ordering a caña, I was given a doble and charged €3, which is a pretty good deal for the bar, not such a good deal for the tourist. Or in fact, anyone whatsoever. So I'm standing now outside the Hostel Santiago. No, it's called the Hostel Pinariega. Hostel Pinariega on the Calle Santiago number 1. Opposite the Hostel Pinariega in Calle Santiago, there's another bar where I spent a lot of time later on. I came back and actually lived in the Hostel Pinariega for a couple of months while they were doing up the house that I bought in Lavapiés. And when I was living there, I actually came and had a menú del día here quite a lot. And what I'd like to do is have another Kenya and see if I can find a menu to illustrate a point about the first few days in Spain. So, well, let's go and have a look. ¿Me pones una caña? Por favor, una cañita. Right, so it's pretty noisy in here. I don't know how much of this you can hear, but let's have a look at the menu. Because the very first thing you'll discover when you move to Spain, if you don't speak any Spanish, is that you immediately have trouble trying to work out what to eat, because you sit in front of a menu which says things like albóndigas en salsa, bacalao con tomate, callos a la madrileña. Whatever you do, do not eat callos, that is tripe. Jamón serrano, queso manchego, oreja la plancha. Oreja, another very nice Madrilenian dish, is beer. If you are in a situation where you arrive in Madrid and you've got no idea what to eat at all, ever, there's only two words you need to know. Jamón y queso. With jamón y queso, you cannot go far wrong. Ham and cheese. And put them both together in a sandwich and you have a sandwich mixto, a mixed sandwich. In my first few days in Madrid, I lived off sandwich mixtos, and how happy I was. But the trick is to tear the food page out of your Lonely Planet guide and take it with you everywhere you go. Because I tell you, you won't need it. Frequently you'll find now menus translated into English, but if you don't and your Spanish still isn't up there, you've got to eat, and it's nice to know what you're eating. So there you go, top tip: tear the Lonely Planet page about food out of the guidebook, take it everywhere you go.
¿Pones un sándwich mixto, por favor?
¿Sándwich mixto, por favor?
Gracias.
Perdona. Perdona, ¿me cobras, por favor?
Gracias. So there we are. This bar for the almost the same price in the last bar. It's €3 outside for beer. In this bar I got the same size beer and the same size mixed dose for €3.90 more. Now on the telly there is the best ridiculous, terrible, ethically unsound programme on Spanish telly. It is the if you come from the United Kingdom, you might remember a programme called It's a Knockout, where people used to have to play stupid games with obstacles while dressed up in difficult clothing, big oversized sort of foam rubber suits. Now, they have a similar version in Spain, but the difference is, I'm going to go out to the bar because it's way too noisy. The difference in Spain is that they play the same game with a bull. So what you have is a center stage area, sort of ring, with maybe a fake castle set up in the middle. And the contestants have to run to the middle of the fake castle, across open ground, to pick up, I don't know, for example, hoops. But the Spanish twist is, of course, being Spain, that there is a young bull in the middle of the scene. So, what happens? Obviously, much hilarity as the people who are running across the stage, across the open floor, get chased by the bull and occasionally floored. And well, it's just one of those things where you say, only in Spain, really. Game shows with bulls, fantastic. I've taken a picture. So anyway, I was going to say, yes, I got a picture of the famous sandwich mixto, and this is survival stuff. If you come to Spain and you don't speak too much Spanish, then you, apart from knowing jamón y queso, if you're not a vegetarian, in which case you're in trouble, because, well, you're not in trouble, you can survive as a vegetarian in Spain quite happily, but you will have trouble to begin with, because Spanish restaurants don't count ham as meat, for example. So you can order a plate of beans and you can say, does it have any meat in it? And they'll say no, and it'll arrive on your at your table, and you'll find it's got ham, and you'll say, well, you might try, if you've got Spanish enough, you'll say it's got ham in it. I'm vegetarian. I say, oh, ham, that's not meat. So it's difficult. Anyway, what I was trying to say was, if you don't mind eating a bit of ham and a bit of cheese, you can get along very well for the first few days in Spain while you learn your way around the menu. But the sandwich mixto, the ham and cheese toasted combination, is delicious. And you'll soon get sick of it because you'll find yourself eating a lot. Anyway, I got a photo of the ham and cheese. So this really is turning into a multimedia podcast. And if you didn't find this podcast via the website, my website, notesfromspain.com, then head over to... Oh, noisy! Head over to notesfromspain.com, and on there you'll find a link to all the photographs that accompany this podcast, and a link to the book, the free book, about the first few years in Spain. You don't have to read it, but if you do, if you want to, well, read it. Let me know what you think. There's a contact link on the page. Anyway, now we are down. I've walked down a nice cobbled street, and we are in Opera, a large plaza, large square, near to Sol, which is named, oddly enough, after the opera house in the middle. So it's a slightly touristy area, and not surprisingly, therefore, this is where I ended up on my very first night in Madrid on my birthday. So just crossing in front of the opera house. By the way, if you're ever in Madrid and you want to have a very posh meal, which probably in terms of, for example, United States or UK prices, isn't all that expensive, then if you can get a table in the restaurant in the opera house, I'll try and stick a link on the show notes for this on notesfromspain.com, then it's a great place. If you can get a table with a view over the square, it's fantastic. But very nice food, it's quite posh, but you know, in English terms, you're probably talking for three people maybe £80. So in the States, that's probably $130 or something for three people. It's not very much. Really nice food. And the best bit is when you walk into the restaurant, you walk through these fantastic golden carpeted halls with 12 foot paintings of the king and the queen on the walls, and you feel like you are really entering a palace. So there we go. The restaurant in the opera house is a good bet. Anyway, we're off now to the last stop of the night. So okay, I'm standing outside the Taberna del Albardero on Calle de Felipe V, which is really a small rectangular plaza behind the opera house on the way to the Grand Palace. And this was where I spent the first night in Spain. This is where, if you read the super free ebook, you'll read about the fact I was here on my own, and suddenly I was surrounded by a group of Danish people who were here, Danish men who were here on a conference of some sort. They were trade unionists, that's how they described themselves. And so, of course, there were lots of jokes about Margaret Thatcher, the Iron Lady. You like the Iron Lady? And, well, I suppose it brightened up my evening because I had spent the entire day wandering around Madrid on my own, waiting for the following day when I was going to start a course, a Celta course, what used to be the TEFL course, to learn how to teach English so I could earn a living in Spain. And, well, these very nice Danish people came along, they bought me a drink, and it turned out to be an interesting evening in the end. So anyway, my plan is now to go into the Taberna del Albardero and see if I can actually order a caña, which is a caña, because the last two bars I've ordered a caña, a small beer, and been given a large one. And, well, it's only a Wednesday night and I've got to work tomorrow, and I've only eaten a sandwich mixto and another large beer in these temperatures. Well, it won't be too bad, I suppose, but let's see what happens. See if I can successfully order a caña. I've got a feeling it's because I'm looking very touristy today. I've got a camera over my shoulder, I've got the headphones in my ears, and a mobile phone often strapped to one of my ears, so it doesn't look like I'm talking to myself as I podcast my way around Madrid. So anyway, let's see. Let's go in.
Hola.
Hola, ¿qué tal?
¿Me pones una canita?
Una canita, muy bien.
Sí.
Esta es muy tuya.
Sí, esta de Gilles. No te vayas que te va a jabón también, ¿eh?
Muy bien, muy bien.
Well, at last, I managed to get a caña, a real caña, a small glass of beer, for the price of €1.40 in a great bar. And I think that's going to bring the sound scene tour, the sound scene tour for tonight, to an end. I'm in the Plaza del Oriente now, in front of the Grand Palace, and it's a good place to stop because this was actually where I ended my first night in Madrid, and I remember being pretty impressed by this place. It's a lovely plaza. It's surrounded by beautiful, some of the most beautiful buildings in Madrid, a sort of semicircular terrace of 4 or 5 story buildings with some great roof terraces. And I think this is one of everybody's dream places to live in Madrid. If you could have a roof terrace here overlooking the Plaza del Oriente, and you can hear the fountains in the background now, and the whole plaza is full of intricate gardens marked out by box hedge. As an English person, box hedge has a wonderful smell. It always reminds me of sort of trips to smart, stately gardens when you're a child. There's a large tour group in front of me, I think you can hear that. But the Grand Palace is really incredible, and I seem to remember that during my first day here in Madrid, I'd been reading my rough guide, or my Lonely Planet, as a good fresh tourist. And I remember reading that here from the Grand Palace, Franco, the dictator, Generalissimo Franco, used to address crowds of people from the balcony. And if you stand in the Plaza del Oriente in front of the fountain and look at the palace and imagine Franco standing there, it's fairly evocative. It's great. It's a lovely way to spend the end of a first day in Spain. So I think a bit of a hodgepodge of a podcast today. Forgive me if it's a bit of a strange one. But as usual, head over to www.notesfromspain.com, and there you'll find all the details of today's podcast, including the links to the photos, and the book. And there you go. The Pod Spain number 6 podcast multimedia experience. So this is Ben Curtis saying good night from the Plaza del Oriente in front of the Grand Palace in the center of Madrid. Good night.